It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel to a boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What'd we say? What'd we do?
What are we apologizing for, Bobby? Believing. Hope. I'm just kidding. It's not shattered. We got Kristaps Porzingis news. We figured it was worth jumping on here, talking to you fine folks, and giving you a little bit of an update on the Celtics situation. Take the temperature of the room, see how much panic there is, see if everybody's okay, see how we're feeling. And just kind of talk it through. So a special one-off edition of the Garden Report here with me, John Zanis, and Bobby Manning. And we want to tell you, as always, the Garden Report is brought to you by Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, and one of our newest sponsors, Game Time. Want to give a big shout out to Game Time, the best mobile ticket marketplace app out there. Welcoming Game Time to the CLNS Media Network and to our Garden Report viewers. We'll tell you how you can get $20 off your first purchase here a little bit later on. But first up, here we go. Porzingis out, soleus strain, out for game five with the Heat. A little bit beyond that, expected the tweet from Woj, expected to miss a minimum of several games, which is just the dumbest, most poorly worded tweet of all time, saying that there's no specifics there. But the expectation here, I guess, from all the Twitter doctors out there, Bobby, is like in the 2 to 3 week range, I think is optimistic. I think it's worth pointing out Giannis Antetokounmpo, also with a soleus strain, has been out for 21 straight days and doesn't appear anywhere close to being able to resume basketball activity. So who knows? What's your vibe? Is this best case, worst case about what you expected, and how concerned are you?
I'm pretty concerned. You're looking at a situation here where he's probably going to miss the second round entirely. I'm looking at how that schedule would line up for next round, and I believe it got announced today that if the Celtics wrap up their series in 5 or 6 and the Magic and Cavs wrap up their series in 6, game one would be Sunday. And just based on the one day off and then 2 days off before game 7, that would bring next series to, let's say, 16, 17 days from now. So that's, I think, around the time he'll probably start getting on the court. If it goes similar to Giannis's timeline, and I'm looking now, Giannis got on the floor today. This is today. Didn't do a lot, just some shooting, not practicing, not going live. And again, that's 3 weeks removed from his injury that happened against the Celtics here. Now, is there a difference in severity between these two? I actually think they're probably pretty comparable athletes and bodies and, you know, just guys who have a ton of height, ton of length, and probably complicates recovery a little bit here. So this is a tough loss. Now, they've played well during the season without him. I don't know if that's necessarily going to translate here, but I think we'll learn a lot about what they look like without him tomorrow against the Heat, who are about as shorthanded as you can get, who probably present the smallest challenge of any game remaining in the playoffs. Jaime Jaquez is now out, so they're going to have 7 players, if you want to call it that. They're probably less than the guys who can compete in this series and actually stay on the floor. So you should roll tomorrow, but it will be interesting to watch Al Horford in that starting role, which is going to be their alignment for the foreseeable future here, against Bam, who's going to attack him head on, who I think has had his number a little bit in this series so far, and how the Celtics size up defensively. Are they putting Horford back in that drop from a year ago? Is Are they going to go to some more switching? Are they going to switch up how they defend now? And how much do we see of Cornett and Tillman? Do we see both? Do we see one? Do they just ramp up Horford's minutes to the maximum and minimize those guys' appearances as much as possible? I'm even interested if they'll try to sneak Cade in just to see what it looks like at a certain point here. You have enough to get through this series. You have enough to get through the next series. So that's the plus here. The downside is once he gets on the court, you know, is the East Finals about to start? Is he on the edge of coming back at that point? And you don't want to rush him, so he's missing some time into the East Finals as well. Because I think that's the point where you start to get worried about his absence. And you wonder where he's going to look like when he comes back. Does he come back sooner just to try to get back out there? Does he give it maximum amount of time to play it safe for the long term? At that point, you're probably looking at this kind of, you know, 3-4 week thing that Giannis is going through right now. So it's not good. It's not good at all. He's been pretty critical to what they've done on both sides of the ball here. And I think it's going to take some adjusting. You saw it in the second half last night, John. They lost the second half last night against a Heat team that was playing horrendously.
And the Celtics were playing awful the whole game. It doesn't matter. But I'm just going to say we can't have nice things, Jimmy Toscano, can we?
Welcome Let's in. Go.
We can't. Wait.
What are you guys so excited about?
I'm just excited to be on the show. I'm happy to see you guys.
Okay. He's in last night mode.
Where's your somber voice for this news?
I'm more confused.
Somber voice. Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy. So. What do you think of the Kristaps Porzingis injuries? Are going to be all right? Are you going to be all right?
Yeah, so Bobby, I know last night on the show we talked about the fact that Kristaps did dress himself in a suit last night, and just your thoughts on just how could that mean nothing? I just, you know, your thoughts on the suit and the fact that he even tweeted that things were going to be all okay.
Yeah, somber voice. Look, this let's call this what it is, right? Like, there's no reason to try and make yourself feel better. They can still win. We know that. But now
they should.
But now, not the Miami. That's over. But now,
no, even in the second round.
But now losing is in play. Like, legitimately, it's legit in play. And it wasn't really before. You really thought it was, we'll see you in the conference finals, and said second round was going to be a snooze. And now, like, all year long, we talked about, oh, they managed him beautifully. He played just the right amount of games. You didn't overuse it. And this happens. And look, this is the risk you get when you – what's the knock on Kristaps Porzingis?
This is why you got him, kind of.
I know, but the knock on him is he's fragile. And
that's what I mean. But that's why he was available, right? There's always a – you know, like if he wasn't fragile, he'd probably been a perennial all-star over and over and over, and he probably – would, you know, maybe even have a championship on a better team by now. So he was available. You made the trade. You don't have regrets. Okay, we're not going to go that far because I think Porzingis has...
No, it's just a bummer.
It's a bummer. It's a total bummer that this was the one concern that we all had that might happen. And it just kind of happened out of nowhere, too. It wasn't even like, you know, he didn't land on somebody. It was just the unfortunate, you know, non-contact thing. It's kind of wild that he has the same injury Giannis had. I was extremely unfamiliar with this injury up until like when Giannis got it. And now you got these two guys with the same deal with the same thing. This sucks. I want to make this very clear. It sucks, right? It also makes things very interesting because before, if you were the Celtics, you could just kind of rest on your talent a little bit. And we've seen it. We've seen it a lot of times this year. We've seen it even in this playoffs against the Heat team. They're stacked. They're way more talented, so they can afford to not play as connected on certain nights and still get away with a win, even a double-digit win, Bobby. And we've seen that in this Heat series twice. Now, that advantage, that talent advantage, drops pretty significantly. You have a much thinner bench now. By the way, a bench that hasn't really shown up at all in this playoff series as it stands. And now you're losing your best piece of that bench. When I say it hasn't shown up, I'm not talking about Horford. I'm talking about the rest of the guys, right? And so now Horford's off that bench. And so you really have a pretty bare bones bench right now, okay? No offense to the Cornette and the rest of the bench brigade, the Stay Ready crew. So if you're Tatum and Brown, all of a sudden you can't afford to sleepwalk through a game. You can't afford to take a game off. You can't afford to play – even 70%, 75%. You have to play all-star level. Jason Tatum wants to be first-team All-NBA level. There is not that ability to just say, oh, well, we've got, you know, we're extremely deep six, including a guy in Porzingis who on any given night can be the best player on the court, and he can do, you know, he can end up with a, you know, unbelievable stat line on four different ways. So that's the concern now. And to be honest, Bobby, you know, Tatum and Brown have a ton to prove. They have to prove that they can win without Porzingis. And if they can't, that's going to be part of their legacy, is that these guys could not get it done without a shitload of guys around them. And even when they did, they still couldn't get it done.
You mentioned it too, the conversation at the beginning of the year about his health. And I think I said it and we all said it. You can't get to the playoffs, have him go down and say, whoop, he went down. What do you want to say? It'll still be unacceptable if they don't reach the conference finals. And if he misses the whole conference finals at that point, and
it will be. It won't be an excuse. It's not going to be like a Bucks situation where you're like, oh, well, Giannis went down. I mean, honestly, like, what were they supposed to do?
They should still make the NBA finals. I have enormous respect for the Knicks. I've called them their greatest threat. And they're probably going to close out their series tonight or within the next game or two here. They have an advantage over the Pacers.
Jimmy, what's going on with you, buddy?
What am I doing?
It sounds like there's a motorboat and then a gas.
That's not me.
Yeah.
It sounds like your mic's on fire.
There's something.
What do you mean?
First, it sounded like there was a motorboat in the background.
There's no motorboat.
And then it was like a gas leak.
Anyway.
Just hold on. Maybe you have the wrong microphone on setting. Nothing is going on over here, Dad.
So someone put it in a comment earlier.
Yeah, it's my wrong microphone. It's my wrong microphone. It's the wrong microphone.
It was they were a head and shoulders above everybody. Yeah. This levels them down. Not down to a point that they're not favored anymore. This knocks them back down towards the pack. Not to the pack, towards them, right? Because again, what are we talking about? Milwaukee's without Giannis. The Knicks are without Randall. You know, like, there's other teams out there. You know, Philly's, you know, in deep trouble, and they got Embiid back, and he's on one leg. Like, the Heat are without Butler. Everyone else is missing as good or better a player, even more integral to their team's success than yours. Porzingis is, you know, your second or third best player. So there's no weeping for this. Like, everyone else is dealing with a lot of crap too, but it brings you back down towards the pack. There were two tiers above everyone else. Now it's less. That's it.
Yeah, this could have been worse. And you start with the injury, could have been Achilles, and you're talking about your championship hopes being gone and an impact in the next year, and then, you know, foreseeable throughout his career. So you're glad that didn't happen. And you have appropriate depth here to make up for his absence. Horford, you probably can't imagine a better replacement option than him, who's been that starter through the playoff runs. And we can debate the level he's playing at now. But I still think he has a ton left in the tank. He even just physically still looks so amazing at this point, the shape he's in at this age and some of the things he's done in these games. It's amazing stuff. And I think he's going to be very motivated to fill that. It's about the backups and how much you can go to those guys, how much you can rely upon them. I'm obviously a big believer in Cornette. You're going to have to try Tillman. It just doesn't seem like they have great belief in him. He hasn't even appeared in a game in the series, and certainly lost favor late in the season as he joined the Stay Ready crew effectively there late in the year. So you're going to have to break him out. And then when you mentioned Kata, Jimmy, does he come into play at all here? If those two guys struggle?
I didn't mention him.
So
I didn't mention
this.
So the question is, Bobby, who's going to be our second center?
Huh? It's Cornette. Huh? It's Cornette to start.
You couldn't wait to say that. It's Cornette. It's always been Cornette.
Now, what are we talking here?
Always been you, Luke.
7 to 10 minutes in the first half. If he struggles, does Horford have to go the whole second half? Do you try Tillman in the second half at that point? I mean, tomorrow's going to be very interesting.
Where the hell have you been? Sorry. I haven't seen you in a long time. Rest up that soleus. Go ahead,
He's
Bobby.
He's been lurking.
Lurking? All right.
Yeah. It's great that they have tomorrow because they can play around with this stuff, right? you have some room for error here in the city series, and you certainly don't want to lose tomorrow and have to travel and play another game and all that. But you do have to figure out what you have here in those depth guys. And this goes back to something we've talked about for 2 years under Joe now, John. I think Cornette's in a good position where he's played with these guys and got a ton of opportunity during the year, and he's been here all these years. So I think he, matchup dependent, is in a good position to succeed. But is Tillman ready enough? Is Cada ready enough? Did those guys get enough reps during the year? Real reps, you know, not the garbage time or, you know, end of the year against the other teams, opposing backups, third stringers kind of minutes. And this is the playoffs. It's going to be different for those guys. And I know Joe said last night, it's the same thing as the regular season. If they played 25 playoff games, you think they'd go 21-4 without Porzingis?
So this is, again,
hell no.
These are dumb stats.
I hate stats like that. Because, and most stats.
So they're 21-4 without Porzingis, and it's a large sample size. That's fine. They're also 7-1 without Tatum and 12-0 without Jaylen Brown. So what does that tell you? They beat everybody. Because why? Because all year long, they had tremendous health luck most of the year. When they missed guys, oftentimes it was only one, sometimes two. Other teams were missing guys and didn't have near the depth that the Celtics did. The Celtics were built for the regular season to have guys go in and out and miss time from year to, you know, from time to time, because they were always playing with 3 and 4 all-stars. Other teams are losing a couple guys and they're toast. So yeah, the Celtics were built better than other teams to withstand an absence or two. Their record without everybody is great. So the 21-4 without Porzingis in the regular season means very little. I don't think people can find comfort in that. I think you can find comfort in knowing they're good without everybody because they're really good, and they can withstand a loss and still beat teams. They can't withstand a loss and win a championship, most likely, because that's going to be extremely, extremely difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you just got to get him back. Yeah. It tells you that they don't suck without him, but also how much stock do you put into those wins? Let's go back and go through them all. Who were they against? Who was out on the other team? Did it matter at that point in the regular season? Like, the amount of games dwindles down a little bit. I'm not trying to say that they're going to suck without Porzingis, but you can't use that stat and say, oh, like, well, they're better without Porzingis. Like, that's just stupid. Or it's like, they're just as good without Porzingis. Like, they're obviously not. And by the way, the offense is a lot more painful to watch. Like, that's the one thing I'm dreading, is not having.
So the losses like were. The yep, losses okay. were the Bucks game late in the year where Giannis went down, that really bad Clippers loss at home, where they just tore them apart in the second half. The Warriors overtime loss on the road, and one of those, I think it was the other Pacers game, not the one with the Buddy Hield Brown thing at the end, the one where they just lost by 10. So those were the four losses. You did beat Embiid twice in the Sixers. I think Embiid might have missed one of those games, but he was definitely in the first one. Then it's just Hawks, Bulls, Raptors, Wolves at home is pretty good. Spurs, Mavericks on the road, pretty solid. Pelicans at home, that was a good one. Nets on the road. Warriors at home, the Jaylen Brown game. And then Suns, Blazers, Jazz, Suns, yeah. Wizards, Bulls, Hornets, Wizards. So a mix of some crap teams, but there were some good wins in there.
Yeah, totally. And look, yeah. there's something to be said. They play at a better pace without Porzingis, you know, a little bit. And so
I think their defense could be better without him.
Yeah.
You like their offense better without Porzingis?
Not offense. I like
the That's the thing. Forget the 21-4. When he's off the floor this year, they're like 0.9 per 100 better. And that includes games he played where he was sitting and just all the minutes off the floor for him this year. And, of course, the games he was out. So their offense was better.
You're worried about more ISO ball? Was
about the same. Yeah, you don't have that outlet now. So if Horford's flattened out, if you go against a switching defense, which the Magic could do, the Cavs probably won't do as much. And this Heat team can certainly do it at a pretty high level. That's where, you know, your shooters are getting flattened out. You don't have guys who can post up. you're going to want to get Tatum and Brown close to the basket at that point. It's going to change the way you play, and you have to adapt. So this, that comment yesterday, and I know it's after the game and it's emotional and all that stuff, but Joe saying that nothing changes. I mean, it's again, absurd.
He's not, I agree, Bobby, but I don't think he means that. I think it's just,
no, I don't think so either.
I think it's just, I don't want to answer
mentality
your question.
Mentality wise.
We're fine. We're going to get
mentality wise. Yeah.
We play our game regardless of who's out there. That's kind of the message. Not that nothing changes. Obviously things change when you're missing a 7'3" guy who's a matchup nightmare that is zone buster.
You gotta anticipate that the playoffs are just a completely different animal, right? And I know that the Heat, getting this matchup against the Heat, listen, this was the Celtics' gift for dominating the regular season. It paid off. They got it. They got a Heat team. It's on its last leg, literally and figuratively. And that's good for the Celtics. At some point, it has to get more difficult for them. Whether it's Orlando or Cleveland, either of those teams. I actually like Orlando. I think that they're like a sneaky, tough team. The Celtics number a few times over the last couple of seasons. They performed well in the bubble, if I recall correctly. So they have some competitive spirit to them. If you sleepwalk through you can sleepwalk through the Heat, but if you think you can sleepwalk through the Magic, especially now you're an important piece down, I don't want to tell you what might happen. I don't want to ruin anybody's night, but you can't sleepwalk through a Magic. Again, it's jumping ahead a little bit. The Magic still have to take care of the Cavs. It's a 2-2 series, but the Magic can surprise a lot of people. And if they do take down the Cavs, that's a young team with a lot of confidence now and a little bit of momentum, and they're gonna move on that. Athletic team too.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a great, the next two opponents aren't great to be without a tall guy. There's some problems there, but you know, we'll talk more about Porzingis for sure. Because that's what this show is about.
You're now thin though.
Yeah.
Are you going to do an ad read or something?
You have bodies.
Yeah. You sense the transition a little bit too late. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. It's okay.
We're gonna add some more thoughts.
It's okay. We're going to get back to Jimmy's thoughts. I'm also going to tell you why Porzingis was the least concerning thing, was the second most concerning thing that I saw yesterday in the game as well. But first off, we want to tell you again, why not? We're going to tell you a little bit about Game Time, our newest sponsor joining the Garden Report. Love Game Time. I said this last night. I'm lucky. All of us here, we get press credentials. We get to go see games when we want to see them. We get to work them. We get to be there, see some cool stuff. But it's hard. It's hard to get tickets, especially to these high profile playoff games. You know, Bruins playing tonight. Obviously, the Celtics. You want to get them, you know, tomorrow for a closeout game, and then deeper into the playoffs. It's going to be tough. Enter Game Time, an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, makes getting playoff tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app go down. What's that?
I said, wow.
Yeah, wow.
I downloaded it yesterday with the code. I got the discount right away, and I was scrolling around. It's very easy to find, you know, what you want for games or concerts or whatnot.
It's really easy. It tells you what's in your area. And again, the prices go down as you get closer to Game Time, which is really cool. You know, like we said, you want to see the Celtics, go for it. Bruins, hopefully they advance to the second round. Local concerts, whatever. Tons of great features too. Flash deals, save more, exclusive in-app deals, select seats ahead of time, panoramic view of the seat that you choose, and a lowest price guarantee.
Great, yeah.
It is great, actually. Or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. And guys, this is really easy.
You know,
do us a favor. Just sign up. There's not even a money commitment to start. Sign up and have the account. And then if and when you need it, it's there. And just go and you can apply that 20 right away. Terms do apply. Again, create that account. Code CLNS. 20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets.
Let me tell you what to do.
Price guaranteed. Oh yeah, Jimmy's got it.
This is what you do. This is what you do with the Game Time app. You download the app. You put in the code CLNS. Okay, you get your $20 off. Let's say it's a playoff game. Let's say it's a Celtics playoff game, second round. Okay, you don't have tickets yet, but you know you want to go if it's the right price. So you and a couple buddies, or a buddy, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, whoever. You get into Boston. You pick a bar downtown.
You lurk. Yeah.
You hang out, you check the app, the numbers start to drop a little bit.
you can go all the way up to game time. I think you can even go into game time. The prices are dropping. Worst case, you know what? You decided you're having too much fun at the bar. You're going to watch
it. You can still get into the Bruins right now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so that confirms what I thought. You can, if let's just say, you know what? We want to watch the first period in the bar anyways because tickets are a little impressive and we just got dinner. We're having a good time. Let's buy tickets at intermission. They drop 40% in price and you go and you watch the best part of the game anyway. So that's the cool thing about the Game Time app.
That is
cool.
It doesn't
cost you anything to have it. And you might end up saving a ton of money by using it.
Yeah,
plus
it is
$20
cool.
More.
I want to circle back and again, like I said, do us a favor, jump in there, download it. There's no commitment other than you get your $20. If you want to use it, use it. It's awesome. But jump in there, use that code. It does us a big favor. Jimmy, you had thoughts to add on Kristaps before I segue into some other things that I'm concerned about.
Completely forgot.
Come on.
Completely forgot my thought on Kristaps. Yeah, no, I did. I'll get it back, but I knew that was going to happen. I don't remember what we were talking about right when we went to the ad read.
Where do you think they miss him most, Jimmy?
Porzingis? I just think they miss having him as an option. I mean, I love what he gives them, and that a seven-footer who can hit threes, Bobby, when he's feeling it, I mean, it's hard to defend that guy. I love his low post moves. I like the fact that he just takes the ball out of Tatum and Brown's hands when they're not on or when they're, you know, prevents them from forcing things, you know? I like when he gets physical and gets a couple hands up there and blocks some shots. I like everything the guy's done. Sorry, George. I'm going to have to think about what my actual thoughts were. They probably were stupid.
Jimmy, it's a tease. I set up the people. I'm like, wait for what Jimmy's going to say. It's going to be awesome.
I got too into the ad read.
Yeah, you did. Hey, we want to thank you here, Any Halex, for the donation. All super chat donations go to the hosts of the Garden Report. So we do really appreciate it. And you know, we thank you for the sentiment, and much love as always to all of you. We hope it's a long run. But again, little wrench in the plan right now.
When Porzingis gets going in that mid range, I mean, it just opens things up for everybody else. You can't leave him open. He's going to shoot the ball from all over the court and he can, and that just helps that gives Holiday the open three in the corner that gives Tatum a more of a lane to drive if he decides to, or Brown. He opens things up so much for everybody. He's been huge for them this year. He's been there. I'm not gonna say he's been their MVP, but he's been either one or two. I would say their MVP this year.
I think what his presence does the most is prevent them from over relying on threes. And now you get into this mode where your post touches.
Well, not
from.
Only that, Bobby, it's he's doing that pick and pop three is like, you know, that is that.
Yeah, he's been shooting that,
you know, that 27 footer that you have to extend out. I mean, I don't know that it's so much about the three.
The shot has been off a little bit.
A little bit of a cheat code where, you know, you can't defend out there when on that screen and roll and you give him space and he catches and he's firing. You know, from downtown, he hit him at 38% during the regular season, but also just those mismatches when it's on and it hasn't been as good lately, that cheat code, just kind of toss it to the free throw line and let him go to work. I mean, it just feels like it was ending up with either a foul or a bucket, you know, most of the time. He's had a couple of struggles in this series, but it's bailing you out of funks, I think is what Porzingis does for you. It's bailing you out of kind of like the, here we go. And they're just like taking the first open three. And
it gets into like the lazy shot chucking mode. And it's
lazy.
Right. That's what you.
I had them. I had them at 19 and 20 last year when they shot below league average from three. It went up to 20 and 12 this year.
It was better. They found ways to win without it. Yeah, no doubt. Last year was almost,
right now,
as you said, coin flip.
Right now in this series, they're shooting 38. He's obviously a part of that, shooting 40 through the first four games, where Porzingis was. So that dips below 36. Next game, game after. I know the Heat are dead, and that Hawkins loss really just buries them probably tomorrow. But if you're jacking up shots.
Don't know, Hawkins is out. Rozier confirmed out again. So no Hawkins, no Butler, no Rozier. Duncan Robinson is banged up, and You know, Kevin Love, who doesn't really matter, seems to be pretty useless as well. I mean, they're really, really thin right now. It's Bam and Hero.
Yeah, but if Bam goes off, if they hit their threes, you have a slow night from three where you're just launching them up. I do think you could lose this game tomorrow. It's a sleepwalk thing, though, John, because if they come out serious with a great effort and intense defense and all that, the Heat have no chance.
So I'm getting back to it because I was gentle last night because we were in our somber voice talking about the Kristaps Porzingis injury.
And they won. Really, and they did win.
No time to talk about other things, and they won. I was horrified by Tatum and Brown's performance. Horrified. Kristaps, Amit!
Wait. Oh, there's no R in there?
Yeah.
Damn it, Amit.
That's all right. The kid he's bats
producing,
like...
He's producing 40 podcasts.
Amit's like, you know those like musicians that play like the harmonica and the guitar when like pounding on drums? But that's basically what Amit
does.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, he's got like the 40, like seven instruments going at once. Like that's basically how Amit works on a daily basis. He's producing this show while editing, you know, like a podcast over here and composing music.
Watching the Bruins. Yeah, has to like update that stuff.
Watching the Bruins, running the Discord server. He's literally, there's like six Amits. That's what everyone's going to find out in the end. He's not one guy. The one guy couldn't possibly do all of this. But yes, Kristaps. Can they do it?
What was your point on the last game, John?
I hated it. I hated the urge, God, this is 2 out of 4.
A lot of people hated last show.
This is 50% of the games so far that you got a passive effort from these guys. 50% of your playoff games to this point. You can't do the on and off switch in the playoffs, Bobby. You can't do it. Passive, walk it up. Standing around on defense, not fighting through screens, not getting out on shooters, bad shot selection, lazy, not working for it, not moving without the ball. I look, and spurts of good stuff, you know, like, yeah, every once in a while you get a Brown drive. Jimmy smiled at spurts of good stuff. Couldn't help himself. Tatum. Of course, there's moments. It's not like everything they do is bad. But overall, they just were sleepwalking again. It's like, at what point do you get it that that's just not an option? It's so annoying. It's like, yes, motivated. We gave him the benefit of the doubt. And normally, like, I'd rail on about disappointing regular season games and you got to play hard and boomer it up and like fake rage. But like, I really dialed that back this year because it's like, you're killing everybody. You've got the one seed locked up. It's tough to be locked in for 82. It's not tough to be locked in for playoff games. It's not. Like, walking through these kills me. I can't watch it. I'm sorry. Like, if it's the last time, great. I'll never mention this again. But I have no faith. Do you know with any certainty they're going to show up and be dialed in? Like, I don't. No. It kills me. It's the thing that's in the back of my head always, watching this team murder everyone this year and think, when we get to the playoffs, are they going to take nights off and plays off and walk around and just be like, we didn't play with energy tonight? It kills me. And it's not just PTSD. I saw it twice this series. It's just Miami sucks. And like, I know they know Miami sucks, but it's still the playoffs. Like, I can't have it. It really is killing. They're just walking around. I just don't understand it.
I like the defense in those two Miami games. The offensive execution has just been so inconsistent though. And yeah, they've had turnovers. I thought Tatum was trying to shoot his way out of a slump for a lot of that game. And you had so much room for error, John, that I think it's natural to relax a little bit. You're up 20, it goes down to 13. And that's basically what happened in that game and the game before at different points. But I'll go back to game one, John.
And I hate being this guy because it sounds like it's like old man, yells at Cloud like agenda. It's not an agenda. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I can't because they keep seeing this, and I'm baffled by it. I really am. I'm so baffled.
No,
by
you
it.
Should. You should be holding them to a higher standard. And it goes back to game one where they hit a million threes. They went up 30, and it felt like every time they had a comfortable lead in that game, it slipped. And that's happened in games three. Now, game two, you showed up with no real effort on the defensive end and lost that game.
It started with game
one. And that's
what's
going to allow you to potentially have a game six.
Jimmy, you called it out, and we talked about it. I like it. Like, I mean, I liked what you said. I hated that nobody got – that Tatum got up when Martin shoved him to the ground and was just walked away. Like, I want to see that fire. It's not like everyone was like, I want to see Brad throw a chair. That's stupid. But like, you want to see a little bit more fire of that. And then to watch him walk around and lose game two and then walk around in game four and just win because Miami's brutal. I couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand it. I thought Brown played one of his worst games. Brown was just bad in every facet of basketball. But he does that from time to time. Tatum's just too cool. Just that slow
That's
down.
That's kind of what
cool
it is.
Stuff. Yeah.
Too cool during the game. Too cool after the game. Like win or lose, it's just kind of like the same kind
and
of
no,
mentality.
Andrew, I said they were trying and they folded. No, but go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I mean that's there's a lot of New Englanders, Bostonians, even Celtics fans that so badly want to love these guys and love this team and believe in these guys, but something's holding them back. And obviously you can go back to previous seasons and the way that those seasons ended and say, well, yeah, they don't trust them. But there's just something about these guys during the game where they don't have that extra level that you see sometimes when you watch some of these other guys. Like we've seen it in the chat here, Anthony Edwards. A lot of people are talking about Anthony Edwards right now and the emotion and the energy and the passion that he showed, not just in the playoffs, but certainly against the Suns, but during the regular season. He's kind of vaulted himself in a lot of people's eyes past Tatum and Brown in a very short amount of time. That's just one example. I mean, you could find some others across the league, but there's something about Tatum and Brown where they lack that, whether it's a killer instinct, whether it's like a dog, like a real dog-like mentality, like Jalen Brunson type, you know, they got that dog in them. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just know that Jamal Murray last night. How about Jamal Murray in the first round of the playoffs? Has anyone watched the Nuggets? Speaking about a team that you already were worried about with the balloons going. You already were worried about the Nuggets, and you're looking at a team like them. Jamal Murray is a big game, big balls player, okay? And people are dying to see that on this Celtics team. It's not to say that Jason Tatum's never hit one before in his career or Jaylen Brown's never got you out of his seat before, because they have. But does it happen enough? Does it happen a lot to the point where you expect it? Or does it happen enough to the point where, yeah, John, you're frustrated from it by it, but are you surprised by it? Other than the fact that it's the playoffs and you can't believe that we're talking about it. But are you really like completely stunned that these guys would not be giving, in your eyes, 100% effort or close to it in a playoff series? Probably
it's crazy.
Not.
And it's living with the results. Like it's
That's
living.
It.
It's living
to,
with
supposed
it.
Supposed to be okay with it because they won.
And I find that frustrating. It's living with it and like, well, it happened, instead of willing a different outcome. I always find that bizarre. Like Tatum, here's a small sample size, right? We talked about Jamal Murray. And again, this will feel like it's cherry picking, but it's just an observation. It's a one-off observation. It doesn't make the overarching point, but Jamal Murray hits two game winners in that series and everyone knows what's happening. He's got the ball. He gets a switch. He goes at somebody. He hits a shot. He got separation, hit a beautiful shot here. Jason Tatum took three shots at the buzzer last night at the end of each of the first three quarters. They were all bricks and air balls because he couldn't even gain enough. Everyone knew it was coming and he couldn't get the good shot off. Like
the third was annoying.
Sad and slow and pathetic. Like it's just gross. Like it, like
it's
make it had you're settling for the worst shots possible as if that's what your really team wants you to do. That's what their team wants you to do. Don't do that. Work harder for the right shot, for the better shot. It's so weird to have the lack of effort, and then also settle for these crap shots. It's bad in both regards. Like, and Bobby, you say this all the time. Other teams frustrating you. You got a good defender on you. It's just not your night. Whatever happens, and it's different. It's not that one of those nights where Tatum's like got open looks and just bricking threes, which happened from time to time. It's doing what the other team wants you to do. And you say it all the time. Just make your bones on defense then. Like, stay in the game with defense until you figure the other shit out. But then they don't do that either. It's the offense affects defense thing. And I find that really frustrating. And again, they're up 3-1.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they were. I think they were able. I mean, to Bobby's point earlier, I mean, they. I think the Heat had like 55 points like midway through the third quarter.
So yeah, but it's they still had a ton of open looks. I think. I don't think.
I think it's going defense.
It's a little bit of both, right? I mean,
I think sure, going down to Miami, they ramp up.
What's that?
Yeah, I think I liked overall, especially in game three, how they ramped up the intensity in those games. And the turnover margins, 46 to 37 now in the series. I think they're doing a better job of forcing those. They forced 14 on Hero. That's it. I don't like the offense either sometimes, John. I always love the defense when they're locked in on that end. And Holiday's another guy who's just had an abysmal offensive series. And I think he's giving you stuff on the other end that's making up for it. White, that fantastic defensive performance last night from him. He has 5 blocks so far in the series. So that's how you're going to have to do it now because the offense is going to come and go. You lost your hub in many ways here, and you're going to have bad shooting nights. So they have to stay locked in on that end. And they admitted as much. Game two was a good example of offense.
This is the perfect. I love
particularly
this.
For Porzingis.
I was talking about this with my buddy Alex earlier today. Big fan of the show, by the way.
I mean, this annoys me.
Imagine if Pierce was on this Celtics team. We would not be complaining. And this is like borderline. This is like a younger boomer take. And this is why I feel like maybe younger Celtics fans just don't get the frustration that me and John have, because I feel like we've been through some other Celtics eras that you didn't really have these feelings about these teams, John. Like, even the, like, this 07, 08 team, all the way up to like 10, 11, 12, I don't think you were really questioning their effort or their tenacity. I mean, they were regarded as the toughest team in the league for a long time. And I can't speak to the 80s, but I'm sure people would say the same thing. So, I mean, I love this comment just because I'm a big Pierce guy. He would eat those guys alive. He would be talking shit from start to finish, and he would kill them. That's what he would do. And he would laugh about it in the locker room after. And he would go out and do it again the next night. And KG would too. And half those other guys on the bench would too. And that's just the way it was. But now it's like, it's this day in history if you get a scowl from a Celtics player. Or, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable, John. I mean, these guys are getting punched and knocked down. And it doesn't make a sound. I don't know.
It's anyway, Bobby. I like I said, I didn't want to take it too far. It just
I think we're taking it a little too far.
Fine, but it just pissed me off yesterday because it's like, guys, we've done that. We've been over this. You can't do it in the playoffs.
They are.
Yeah, you can't do it.
So this series, I think you have a fair point, Jimmy and Hero, who obviously they went 2 of 14 against in the second game, where a lot of that damage was done. They're shooting 36 against him in this series. 4 Mills, which doesn't feel good enough. 42 against Bam, which is what it is.
Sure.
Haka is 43. But you're 47 against Jovic. I feel like you've taken advantage of him. 50 against Wright. 51 against Highsmith. 59 against Robinson. And 63 against Martin. Not to mention 67 against Love when he's been out there and pulled right out. So, here's my thing. It was never going to be easy against this team. And this is why, I don't know if you had 6 for a different reason, John, but I just respect that other team too much. And
I thought it was going to be easy. I had it been 4.
Yeah, I just don't think it ever is going to be against those guys.
Because I thought the Celtics would lay 2 eggs. I did.
And so far, you're right about.
They laid two eggs, but Miami was even worse. Yeah.
And for this Heat team to be as demoralized as it is, I think getting to 5 games is going to be an accomplishment for them. And if they get to 6, it'll be a huge success, certainly with what's left here. So I just got to give them some credit for some of the stretches that they've played. They have this coach in the league. Like, all that stuff's going to matter for something. So the fact that the Celtics haven't played perfect in this series, to me, speaks to the Heat a little bit too and stuff they've done. Like, they're just going to keep fighting. They're never going to give up. They're never going to lay down. And sure, the Celtics have probably expected them to in spots and laid down a little bit. But every time the Heat have went on a run, especially these last two games, the Celtics have gotten right back up and reestablished their lead. So I'm going to give them a little bit more credit than you guys. But I have the concerns offensively going forward against two teams in Cleveland and Orlando that might be two of the best three or five defenses in the league, with the personnel, with the schemes and the coaching on that end to make life incredibly hard on you. So here's the thing. If you don't have Porzingis next round, John, and it's a 6-7 game series and the offense really isn't looking good, but you play tough enough defense to scrap out the series, this is similar to something Joe was talking about, that like, yeah, that's going to be frustrating and it's not going to be enjoyable and it's not going to be gratifying to watch. But if that's how this team has to win the championship, I'm okay with it. If it's 6-7 games every series the whole way and they figure it out and just scrap it out, it's not going to be any less satisfying when they're lifting the trophy than them just rolling through everybody, is it?
It's not a matter of satisfying. Like I said, it's really always...
There's only one way you'll be satisfied.
Yeah, we really said that it was just simply a matter of they are... The only one that could beat them is them. And now you're throwing in a Porzingis wrinkle. So you've introduced the possibility of losing that didn't really exist before. And now all of a sudden it's like, all right, time to get serious. So again, the reason I bring up yesterday is you've lost your cushion, right? Like, you could, one of the things they did throughout the year is you could have one or two guys play like assholes and they could still win because you have Derek White, 38, Porzingis could save you. So you could overcome that. Now there's no, I'm not going to say zero margin for error, far less margin for error. So that definitely concerns me.
You do demand more from these two.
Now you demand more from these guys, which is more, which is focus and playing to a higher standard, playing to a star, superstar playoff level standard, which is supposed to go up, not down right now. And I think they're down in the playoffs so far, and that's not great from these guys. They have to go up. We got a little more before we close out the show. Do want to tell you again quickly about Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, more than 3 million members and a proud sponsor here of the Guard Report. We're happy to have them as well. Easiest, most exciting way to get out in the action while you watch your favorite sports and players pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Win up to 100 times your money with Prize Picks with little as 4 correct picks. Turn 10 into 1,000 with basketball, hockey, whatever it is. And again, on America's number one sports app, play alongside some celebrities. You have injury insurance, so you don't have to worry if your guy gets hurt. You're covered. No worries there. Bobby, I know, had a bad experience. Maybe don't follow Bobby's advice, even though he tries to give it from time to time.
We have some good ones.
Bad trip, Bobby.
He's got some good ones from time to time, but download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Once again, download that app, CLNS. You deposit 100, you get 100. It's as easy as that. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. Guys, moving on, anything else we want to talk about here? And do you have a preference between Cleveland and Orlando for the next round? I know we're jumping a tad ahead, but you know, you're without Porzingis game 5. You feel you're getting through this series. What do you guys think? And there it is. Colin had put it up there with a super chat. Thanks, Colin.
I prefer the Magic because I want to see it. I think that's the toughest defense right up there with anyone else in the NBA. I think you have two stars on that side. And I know Wagner hasn't been the same for much of the season, but he has the potential to play great. And Banchero, who's just incredible. And an array of elite defenders. I mean, you could consider Isaac and Suggs two of the best defenders in the league, and two guys perfectly suited to guard Brown and Tatum. And they'll throw a ton of different looks at them too, size. And like Jimmy said, there's a little bit of history here over the last year or two. They smoked them in the tournament this year down in Orlando. The Celtics had two really good convincing wins at home, so they didn't have as much trouble with Orlando as they did last year. I don't know. Something's just been so flat and boring about the Cavs this year. Normally you would go that direction because they've played some great games over the last 2 years. Obviously you had that 22-point comeback in the fourth quarter that the Cavs had the last time they played. So there's still some history there too, certainly. And Mitchell and Mobley and Garland are all box office guys. Maybe it's just that I don't want to go to Cleveland, but I like the idea. I like the idea of either of these series, just because you're going to face a bona fide defensive team with a ton of talented defenders to make life difficult on you. And the one thing with Cleveland too, you're going to have to deal with Allen, and maybe Horford's better suited for the physicality of that matchup than Porzingis is. But if Allen lays a few fouls in Horford early and all of a sudden it's Cornette versus Allen out there, you're like, ooh, and that's probably where Tillman comes into play in a series like that. So, you know, Wendell Carter's great too. And Isaac, we, you know, mentioned the defense there. So you got some talented front courts between both of these teams. Cavs, it's probably more box office. It's probably more interesting, but I do think the Magic, like Jimmy said earlier, would just be a fun, surprising team to go against. And there'd be some good games in that series. And it's probably the more manageable series to win, just given their inexperience.
So
I don't think you could lose to the Magic. I do think you could lose to the Cavs.
Oh, okay. You do? I don't think you can lose.
I think you could lose to the Cavs. I don't think you can lose to Magic. I do agree.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think the Magic have. They're too young, too soon. I think the Magic could beat you in a game or two.
For like a year or like a couple
they're
years.
Not. They're not there. But I think you have enough killers, and you have the size, and you got a couple of problems without Porzingis there. Where Cleveland
and the Magic have no offense. They might have the worst
Magic's offense is dog shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Pierce and KG on there. They said that they think Bankero should be named to the USA team.
He's great, man. His development is great. He's still got a little ways, but
the thing about Orlando that scares me is that you guys are exhibit A and B. I think everyone.
But you have a real alpha in Mitchell, and that scares the crap out of me with Cleveland.
Yeah, he can steal a game or two in crunch time.
A guy who on it single handedly can just put up 45 on you and just go nuts, and you've seen him do it.
So that's what it is. I think they're very Donovan Mitchell heavy over there, but he is capable enough to do it. I mean, on any given night, he can be the best player in the court. Mobley can give you trouble too. I mean, Garland and Mobley really, but Garland's one of those guys that can on any given night. He's a quick, shifty guard. And I think Holiday's had trouble with those types of guards in the past too. So that's something to be careful about. But the thing about Orlando that scares me is that they're the unknown team. They're the team that nobody is giving any credit to. And again, they're down in this game tonight against Cleveland. So, I mean, they lose tonight, they go down 3-2. Maybe that's it for them. And they're a year or two away after all. But I just think the thing about Orlando is that they do have a team of relative young, unknown players. But again, if you do see Orlando, that means they just took down the 4 seed in Cleveland. They've riding some momentum and they've proven to themselves and probably to a lot of other people that they belong here. So that's the thing about the second round is you're playing a team that just had equal amount of success as you did, and they have every reason to believe that they can continue to advance. So Orlando has a little bit of history with the Celtics. They've had success against them, and again, granted, regular season, so take that with a grain of salt, but they've also performed, Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought they had some success in the bubble, or at least
the bubble.
Yeah. Did they, or did they not?
The Magic?
Yeah. Did I make that up?
if they did, it was a completely different team.
Okay. Not in the bubble, sorry. In the tournament, in the in-season tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they smoked the bubble, Celtics down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, that's kind of like...
I know what you were getting at with the bubble.
The bubble, yeah. You remember the bubble. No, the regular season
last like 5 years ago tournament.
At least if you're talking regular season, it's a little bit more meaningful, and there was some motivation behind it.
On the other, it's the two sides.
I didn't mean the bubble, guys. Jeez, everyone's coming at me. The bubble, the tournament felt like a bubble to me. All right.
No, you had that game down there where they grinded out the Celtics and smoked them. It was one of the Celtics' worst losses of the year. But you also, I know John loves the game where they won with Lamar Stevens at center against them. So those are that's the other side of the Magic.
They didn't
there,
give they us a, we bought them. Like, you could buy one too and start a show. Good luck.
Yeah, here's my mic.
Here you go. Take my mic. I'll give one to you.
Here you go. 4 extra doppelganger. Go. Cool hat, man. What are you looking at in your picture?
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a Twitter guy.
By the way, we're forgetting, speaking of history with the Celtics, Tristan Thompson.
What are we forgetting?
Back with the Cavs. So you'll have to go up against him.
These are you guys.
Right off his PED suspension.
I think I just froze.
Yeah. No, you're good. We're talking about the bubble again.
What did you say? I froze.
Who are we talking about? The year after the bubble. Tristan. Remember Tristan?
Tristan Thomas Tristan Thomas. Tristan Thompson is back.
Yeah, right. So look out for him.
I can't stand that. I cannot stand Tristan Thompson. He had me fooled.
Oh my God. I love that signing. That was my worst take on the show, probably.
You need to delete the videos of us saying how much we love that signing.
No.
That's the worst signing, man.
You guys, I was off that early, early, early. Oh my God.
Wow, they brought in a guy who knows what it takes to win a title. He's played with LeBron. He wants to win. He's gonna bring a championship pedigree. Nope. He was just out like partying and like.
Oh, did we lose Jimmy?
Didn't get the court, screwing around with Khloe Kardashian's friends, probably.
Yeah.
And
he's max headrooming a little bit.
Relationship
there,
just a mess.
That Tristan team again. That was
mess. Nothing was worse than that. They were like 24-24, and he was like. These teams, when they go against us, it's like their Super Bowl.
Nothing was worse than it took Brad 63 games. This is where I went out on Brad. Took Brad 60-something games, and then he retrofitted an excuse about Rob Williams and how they'd been managing his minutes, which wasn't what happened. He just thought Thompson was better, and he was wrong. He was wrong for like 60 games. Yeah, Jimmy's motorboating now.
That's when Rob's. What am I freezing?
You're doing
things. Yeah, you're kind of fading.
You're doing the max headroom. Something's you're doing happening. Stuff. All right. You're glitching
time
out.
To end this show. Time to end this show.
I think it is.
I got one more question for you guys.
No. Okay.
It'll be quick.
Yeah.
Cornette or Tillman?
Ugh. I have nightmares about this question.
All right.
It's a big question now.
I'm going Cornette right now.
Let's go.
It depends where. But I also don't think it depends where that much because I just think it's simply a matter of trust at this point. Who should he play? Honestly, I think you might have to experiment a little and see how it feels. Tillman hasn't done anything to snatch those minutes or to deserve them. I think
you're Cornette probably, really hasn't done anything to cement I think them either.
Probably, yeah. And Cornette, like I said, is the default option. But I think it's going to be, like I said, a quick hook and a quick trigger because you're really going to be nervous with those lineups. So I think I would personally play each of them in small stints, you know, because too much of one is probably not a good thing. And so I might try to, I might not say I'm giving all the minutes here. I may try a approach and I might try small ball lineups. It depends who you're playing, but I do like the small ball lineup with like Tatum at the five sometimes because I think you can get away with that. There's certain lineups you can't get away with that, but you know, against some second units, maybe you just don't need a classic big in there sometimes.
I want to have a quick hook on both those guys if they're just.
But like, I think you need a quick hook,
and I'm not ruling out Kata.
Yeah.
Kate is sneaking there. Yeah, especially if
they just have to play defense. They just can't be a negative. That's it. They don't have to score a single point. They really don't.
I want to see, and I feel like we might see it tomorrow, a regular season 2024 style Cornette game where he has five dunks, couple blocks, couple offensive rebounds, some nice passes. And I just want him to calm everybody's nerves about. And again, that's not something he's going to do every night. But he did it.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
He did it at times this year. And I want him to come out with that level of confidence, that level of burst. I'll say this about him. I think he gave them some real energy boost this year. And I think they've missed it at times in this series. And against a Heat team that's starting to fade now, that's weak, that's small, probably into their second units with Bam off the floor and has lost by, like what I said earlier, 50 points per 100 when he's been off. I want to see Cornette out there doing some damage in his 10 minutes or whatever. And that, he's done that all year. So that's my prediction for tomorrow. I think he's going to come out, have a big game.
Okay, there it is.
Sorry, what was that? I missed that whole thing. What was that, Bob?
Big game, hey. Cornette.
He Bob, did it this year.
Was that like a – are you going to clip that and send it to Luke? Was that just like a pump-up speech, like a pregame speech for Luke?
I think it's going to happen tomorrow. He did this all year. He had a lot of great games.
No, he actually didn't do that all year.
Let me pull up the stats, Jimmy.
He had some. Listen, he was effective in spurts this year, Bobby, as your third center. We talked about that. never was there a situation where he was cemented in as the second, as like the guy coming off the bench to play 25 minutes. This is a completely different role for him, really. If it's going to be
36, he had 12.
You can't go per 36.
Two assists and two blocks, but he actually did those things when he got more minutes. It translated.
He had. This is what we always say. Luke was fine in spurts. Don't make me tear the guy down by building him up into this thing that really wasn't, okay? Because then I have to be mean. I think Luke served his role well. Now we have a problem because what we said all year was that you probably won't see Luke and you probably won't see Tillman. And if you do, it means something went wrong. Well, guess what? Something went wrong. And now we're talking about Luke and Tillman. So, yeah, we'll find out tomorrow how they do. Again, it's against a Heat team that really don't even belong in the playoffs, so take it as you will. But if Luke can go in there and put together a solid 15, 20 minutes for them, that's perfect. And again, he doesn't even need to score, Bobby. Yeah, if he wants to throw a couple of dunks down, great. Just play defense, get in the way, Cornette contest if that's what you want to do, and don't be a negative out there. That's really it. And then the onus kind of falls on the rest of the guys to figure out ways to score. But they have to basically survive now at that position until Porzingis can get back. Because you can't have Al going 40 minutes a game.
Right. I think you need 10 collectively or just from one of these guys. So we'll see if they can
10 minutes?
Tomorrow. Yeah, because Horford
should
will
be able to get. You should be able to get. Yeah, I would say if one of those guys got to give you 12 minutes.
Yeah, so Al can go 36, 37. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
That's all I got.
Let's see.
That's all we got. Look, again,
we're going to be here tomorrow at the same time. So
we're back tomorrow. I might make a garden appearance tomorrow, Bobby, but I'll come back here for the show most likely rather than do it from there. But
yeah.
Ooh, I should have requested a pass.
Yeah. FaceTime, putting in some FaceTime. It's been a while. Yeah. Go in there. I want to make
might
sure.
Need, no, I might need to roll in for the second round.
I got to make sure, like Duke or some friggin', you know, newcomer to the garden isn't giving Bobby shit. You know, like he's.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Bobby ruffling some feathers.
Yeah, I don't want him to make sure. It's just make sure he's covered.
Well, John,
there.
They'll give anybody a mic apparently. So
they'll give anybody a mic.
No big. Yeah.
Will you ask a question tomorrow, either. John?
You want me to? You like it when I do, right?
I love it.
You love
John
it.
John goes in. John's like when Shank used to go in.
I'll never forget. John asked 50 questions at the email presser.
Yeah, went right at him. Yeah. Well, you got to go at him. You got to go directly.
Don't be scared to ask a question.
Nobody's scared. I mean, it's not. I don't get that. I don't get it.
Unless it's Marcus Smart.
No, I mean, it's. I look, nobody wants to get blown up either. And Joe's not making it easy on people. So, like, I get why there's a little bit of hesitation there because, like, what are you going to do? Argue with the guy? He's trying to ridicule you. He doesn't want to answer your question. Like, I don't want to be.
Exactly.
Gary wants to be on the receiving end of a do you have kids thing or you have someone you to be asked about your clothes. What you want to say deep down is fuck off. Like, can I just do my job? You know, it's a ridiculous position to put you guys in. So, yeah. No, I would use the Game Time app, but thankfully I am going to just use a press credential and go like a normal civilized human. Boy, I used to do this stuff a lot. I miss it. Jimmy too. Jimmy was a staple at the Garden. Why did they give us microphones? We've been covering the Celtics for.
We earned those microphones.
We earned them for 20, 30 years.
Maybe so. I don't deserve one anymore. I'll be the first to admit, probably saying a lot of wrong things and stupid things.
But we've done it. We have some service time. We have some actual service time.
I'll get to the Garden one time in the playoffs. I'll get there.
We'll get there. All right. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out. We did want to just check in and talk about the Porzingis thing. It sucks, but it's not a fatal wound. We don't believe Porzingis again. Right, soleus strain, out for Game 5 versus Heat again.
Reportedly out for a quote unquote a minimum of several games.
Minimum of several games.
It's several. Anything. What's several?
Webster's dictionary definition of several is more than two and less than many.
What's many?
How many's many?
Many is like I feel like many is like 10.
Many is more than several. Again,
I think he's going to miss 3 to I'm going to say 4 to 8 games.
They're saying 6 on the 17-day range. But I think it'll be a little more than that.
Several is the dumbest shit.
Yeah, it's really
defined solid.
I'm not expecting him back next round, but who knows? Well, game really seven or something, you throw him out there.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at surviving another round for sure. Without Porzingis. So thank you, George Fakos, my Australian Greek buddy. Thank you for jumping back in the chat. I did miss you. All of you guys out here and all the regulars and any newcomers, even the guys who don't think we should have microphones, we do welcome you here. Tell your friends, give us likes, subscribe, do all of those things. Help kind of boost us up. We like the large audience because the chat's lively. Jimmy peaced out. We're going to peace out as well. Bobby Manning, follow all of his work at clnsmedia.com and follow everything CLNS Media does leading up to the game, during the game, and then after the game tomorrow with yet another Garden Report. We look forward to it. Celtics hoping to wrap it up in five, Bobby. I'll take five. Like I said, I don't want to send you to Miami. I don't want to pay for any more. I don't want to do it.
That'll be a hefty one.
That's okay. Well, we do what we do. We're in it for the long haul here, and hopefully the Celtics take care of business. We will see you guys later.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.